This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
What a beautiful Saturday it is in Pittsburgh. The leaves are turning, the temperatures are revving up, and Jim Colony should be on a golf course. But no, he's here. So I said, Jim, hang around a little bit. You're supposed to be on the golf course. This is what retirees do.
I know.
It's
I know.
Like the Sopranos. Even if you leave, they drag you back.
Right.
You can't get enough of this, can you?
Well, no. I mean, it was fun. It was fun hanging out. It was only a couple of hours. Plus, I needed to set the stage for the real talent at the radio station,
yeah, right.
which you're in. As I said earlier, I'm just bummed. I brought in that little skeleton we bought earlier this week. My wife let me get it as a present, maybe like an early birthday present. And I brought it to put in the chair that you're sitting in now, figuring the webcam would be up. And the webcam doesn't operate on weekends. I'm very disappointed. And my wife thought somebody stole it from our front yard. but so she's very relieved that that the skeleton is in good hands. But yeah, I asked this question earlier. I mean, you're a golfer when you can, which is that's a lament because
it is.
When you work, I mean, you just don't have time. And then stuff like you were talking about the pit game. You never know when the pit game is going to be.
No.
And so you can't make any plans at any time of day until the week and a half before when you find out when it is. But I was stunned that the tee sheet yesterday was pretty empty. And yesterday turned out to be really nice. It was cold early, but then once you got into the afternoon, it was a gorgeous afternoon. And then today it did fill up, and it did fill up tomorrow. So I guess tee sheets are filling up. But I wonder if all of a sudden there's like a cutoff based on, oh, it's October, or it's October 50, whatever. And it's just, it's not golf season anymore. You put the clubs away and then you just leave them.
I think people do that generally, but they keep them handy just in case you get a weather spell like this.
I can see, and I do agree that I probably should have taken them out of the trunk, I don't know, the last couple weeks when I wasn't going to be using them. The weather was bad and it was cold. Right, you want to keep them warm, right?
That sounds weird, but I do the same exact thing. I've tortured them enough being in my cold trunk. Yes. I bring them in. I don't have any room for them in. My wife's saying, why is this in here? Because I want to keep my clubs warm.
Well, because, and I don't know, maybe you have like an 8-car garage or something.
No.
We have a 2-car garage. And so at some point, we put the cars in the garage. But right now, we've got lawnmower, wheelbarrow, bikes. We've got, so the cars stay out. We don't put the cars underneath, but pretty soon we're going to have to, you know, I don't want to be scraping the car. You don't want to do that. But yeah, the golf clubs, I should probably take them out. But I'm glad they're still in the trunk because they're there. And I don't know if I'll use them later on today, but probably tomorrow and Monday, maybe Tuesday.
It's going to be all the way good until, who knows, next week, temperature-wise. We'll see. But it's not golf season. It's football season. So since you're here,
yes,
let's talk some football. The Steelers find themselves right now in, you know, almost must-win territory, I say.
But they're a game out of first.
I know that. But you want to get to this. You don't want to get 2-6 to the break. You know, to me, one of these two has to be a win, and it's this week Miami, and it's next week Philadelphia. They're going to be underdogs in both. But Miami has lost 3 in a row, and they're returning to a Tagovailoa. So we got two concussed quarterbacks returning. Interesting situation there, but you know, I'm more concerned with how Pittsburgh's going to try to stop Miami's talented wide receiving duo. You know, Hill and Waddle are 1 and 3.
Apparently, you use the guys that played last week. You don't want,
apparently
you,
so,
you don't
right?
want Levi
I was
Wallace.
Ask you.
You don't want Minka. You don't
keep
want
them all out.
Cam
not,
Sutton.
He's not
no,
doing
we
it.
Don't need those guys. You know, we no. It's What did you make of that? Because I
thought it was Mike Tomlin and the defensive coaching staff's finest hour.
And yet, okay, but then it begets the question, okay, well, who was it, right? You want to blame somebody when things don't go well, and then you want to give praise to somebody. You know, is it Brian Flores? And if, in fact, Brian Flores had a lot to do with it, then he should make an impact tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. That should be a big advantage for the Steelers. And yet, if you look at, and I know you work closely with Chris Hoke, and I heard Chris this week. I happened to catch quite a bit of his appearance when he was on with, I think it was Joe, was back on Thursday, that Chris is bullish on the Steelers here. And he thinks all of a sudden it's like, it's, hey, you know, they after Buffalo, like you said, forget about 2-6. It was going to be 1-7. And now all of a sudden it's, hey, wait a minute. You know what? They turn it around and they can get 3-3. And then all of a sudden they get some momentum and then you go into Philly, you know. And so you could be at least at worst 3-4 going into the break. I don't know what he made of it, but why the defense could be so good still without T.J. Watt and without Minka Fitzpatrick and without their three top corners. And yet these guys come off the street and they play better than the quote-unquote good guys have played. I didn't get it.
No, I mean, it's about opportunity. Some of these guys are very talented, but they just never get a chance. And I think it was a lot to do with Tom Brady, though. As much as it was, I want to credit the Steelers and what they did, because they did. They made it tough. They got it, and they know he's not a mobile quarterback. They put pressure on him when they had to. But he was clearly in a different area code. His mind might
would you have liked to have gone to Bob Kraft's wedding? I mean, you're like an A-list guy.
What makes you think I wasn't there? I can tell you what Tom did that night, what he wore, and who was on his arm. No, I'm just kidding.
I wanted to see some social media posts, but I that had to have something to do with it. But I don't know. He's kind of.
No, I think obviously the divorce situation going on, all this, you know how it would be. It's tough. When your
I don't
mind is,
actually, but
well, no,
but,
I don't mean I, that. I, but I you know what I mean. You can imagine what it would be.
Yeah. Luckily, we don't.
No, we don't.
And I that you know it just didn't make any sense. But that's why I get into a little rant earlier about you know reality TV, where this is a perfect example of why sports is it is reality. It's the only reality TV we have going now, and it's that's why we watch, because you don't know what's even though you think you know what's going to happen, and that's why you know the. You know, the casinos, they build all those nice buildings in Vegas because people think they know what's going to happen, and they don't.
No, I mean, you look at last week, there was no way you could have come to the conclusion that the Steelers would win that game with all those guys out, and they would limit Tampa Bay and how many end zone trips do they make?
Okay.
One? That was it with Tom Brady? Are you kidding me? That doesn't make sense.
And then on the other hand, you've got a backup quarterback, a guy who comes off the bench who was not part of the – I mean, he's part of the game planning, but not really – and then he comes on, and he gets put in third and forever holes because of the play calling leading up to it, and yet all of a sudden he's able to make plays to a receiver who looked like he was a complete waste that people wanted to trade. How does all this stuff turn around like that on both sides
it's
of the ball?
It's reality. Just like you said, it is the only reality television left. Everything else, they can call it that, but it's not. When you know there's a camera in your face when you wake up in the morning, that's not real. And you won't, you know, if you have to expel gas, for example, you won't do it if you know there's a camera in your face and you're getting out of bed, would you?
It would make it more fun.
It would make it fun. But it wouldn't be necessary. You'd be trying to hold that thing in. You wouldn't, you know, you don't want to do that. The microphones are very sensitive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, once you've been married long enough, then I don't know what the, what's the,
when you're, it doesn't
think,
matter. You
I'd
let
have
it
to
fly.
Think way, I'd have to think way back as to when it was, if it was before, because we went out for a long, before we got married, we met in the fall of 77 and got married in spring of 81. So we'd been gone, you know, we'd been dating for like 3.5 years. So there was a lot of familiarity there, but I still can't remember when that moment is.
When you just let it go and you say, it's okay now.
You think it's okay, because she does it too.
Linda, I hope you're not listening
to this. They won't admit it.
Well, they can couch it and say it wasn't me, but there's only two options there, and you know if you're right or wrong.
That's why you adopt a pet.
All right, now... Anyway, how do we get here? So let's talk about
throwing,
you mentioned Chase Claypool.
I'm throwing you off the rails.
Before I let you go here, I want to get your, you know, to me this doesn't make sense. People are talking about a trade. Number one, if you can get a big package for Chase Claypool, I wouldn't rule anything out. I listen to the I always listen. If I'm a GM, I listen to everything.
Sure.
But to me, that doesn't make sense. Number one for them this year, if they really want to go into this with Kenny Pickett moving forward, he is a big target for them. And he showed last week like he still can be one of those guys they can count on down the field in critical situations. He hadn't shown that all year. I wouldn't do it for that reason unless the offer was overwhelming, and I do not see a Christian McCaffrey offering coming their way.
No, if they get, it's going to be, what do you get, like a fifth-round pick, maybe a conditional pick that fifth turns into a fourth? The highest you'd get would third? I mean, he wasn't even, but at any rate, the other thing about Claypool is that he finally, to me, I don't know what happened last year. And I saw him when he got in that fight with Minkah Fitzpatrick at practice, which I'd never seen Minkah. Most guys are smart enough to not start hurling haymakers at a guy wearing a helmet, but he was judicious about where he was. But anyway, that was, and it wasn't on me. And the defensive guys were very upset with what happened, which touched it off. But anyway, but he looked all of a sudden, and this dates back to the second half of the Jets game, when Pickett came on, all of a sudden Chase Claypool looked interested. He looked like he was engaged. And I thought he had checked out and the first part of this year. I didn't see any want to there. And all of a sudden he looked like he was, and then what happened the last game, Buffalo was just a disaster. But what happened last game, all of a sudden it's like, where did this come from? And we'd seen it 2 years ago. And then it just went away. And we can't get inside guys' heads and wonder why they look motivated one time and why they don't look motivated the next. If there's something else going on, like you mentioned Brady, in a personal situation that they're trying to deal with. But man, all of a sudden he looked like he was, that's the guy. And I think a guy that's been underutilized is Pickens in the red zone. He's shown that even though he's a rookie, he's shown that he can certainly beat one-on-one coverage. And even if there are two guys there, if the ball is thrown correctly, he'll go up and get it. So we'll see what happens. But the other thing with Trubisky is that it's like when all of a sudden he had no choice but to have to throw the ball, then he did. And yet then they went back, they'd pick up a first down, and then they toss it to Najee, he'd pick up a yard, they do a jet sweep to Sims, he'd lose two.
Third and long.
And then Claypool would make a great catch. Yeah. So, that's why we'll watch, and we'll watch on Sunday night and we'll see what happens. But you mentioned the concussions. I mean, how many times did we see, and it wasn't just concussions, it was other injuries. I thought there were several instances over the course of Ben Roethlisberger's career where he played in games when he just shouldn't have. There was that one out in, I think it was San Francisco.
And that was a foot injury, though, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Remember, Ben did not have broken toes, according to our friend Bill Cowher. But whatever. There were injuries where he came back too soon. Now, I know there was a concussion game where I thought that he shouldn't have played, and it was almost like. He always had good backup quarterbacks. When he had Charlie Batch, he had Byron Leftwich. These guys were like legit NFL starting quarterbacks at one point in their careers. But is that what's going to happen with Tua and the way that he plays? If once he gets out of the pocket, guys can take shots, and will they do it? I don't know. And then
they'll do it. And the question is, will he be able to survive it in terms of not getting injured and out of the game? But
the same thing is true with Pickett.
Sure.
And then the other thing that'll be interesting to watch here, and the Dolphins are obviously under scrutiny because of what happened. When Tua got hurt, is are they going to have like extra special neutral observers to watch this? And as soon as one guy's helmet, if a guy brushes upside of a helmet,
boom, out.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Back.
Both of them.
Yeah,
I mean, it's both teams.
It's an optic league, and they're really watching this sort of thing. All right, beyond that, I want to talk about, before I let you go here, the Penguins, because I think they're 3-0-1.
Yeah.
And I know it's four games, but I always get excited about a team that I think can be a legit team in the playoffs. A lot of people are immediately going to go and say they're the oldest team, therefore they have no chance, they're old, they're over the hill, blah, blah, blah. If they stay healthy, and if they head to the playoffs where they're healthy, especially goaltending situation, and from what I've seen, Tristan Jarry looks like he's ready to move up the ladder a little bit, maybe not to the Vasilevsky stage, but certainly a good, solid goaltender.
He looked like that in the first period the other night.
Yeah, and if Zucker and Kapanen are healthy and play well, I mean, why wouldn't you think this team can't compete against anyone in the East?
Well, they can. I use the Celtic. I know people hate it when I go back to Boston analogies, but the Celtics in 1969, everybody had written them off because they were too old in 68, and they finally lost to the Sixers. And then all of a sudden, but Bill Russell, and I looked up his age. I was thinking for some reason, he was a player coach. I was thinking for some reason he had to be like 38. He was 35. And when the season started, he was 34. So in other words, he's the same age as Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and there were other guys of his age on that team as well. And they ended up they paced themselves during the regular season. They didn't, they did save it, I think, looking back on it, even though I was like 12 or 13, I didn't understand it. But they were ready to go once the playoffs started. The Penguins, man, they look like they're ready to go right now. But all it takes is a Casey DeSmith injury, a Jarry injury, or worse, both. That's That's all it takes. And there are still 78 regular season games to go. So as good as it looks now, then what's to say something happens at the end of March and somebody
Tampa's
gets hurt.
An older team, too, and they're getting up there. All their star players have been around for a long time, and people don't seem to discount them necessarily. It's about how you're playing, and I'm going to be interested to see how many games they give Casey DeSmith since you mentioned him, because I think both guys have got to be fresh, and I want to see DeSmith play his share of games. Especially now, I got a 5-game road trip coming up. You got is it back to backers? No, is
yes,
it back to backers?
Yeah, they're next weekend.
Okay,
I think.
Monday, Tuesday. Is that what it is?
No.
Oilers, Flames.
No, it's later. It's okay. Later on. So it's later on in that trip.
Flames, Canucks, probably something like that.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. I can't remember which, but I did look it up, and that does. But it doesn't come up right away on the trip, which I think would be pretty good. DeSmith was good the other night. He didn't get a whole lot of
help.
He
was the reason they were actually in the game.
Right. That it went to overtime. Yeah. So and Malkin. But those injuries didn't occur until late. And then there was the Jari meltdown, but that was a few years ago. I think we can discount that now. I think he's I think he's over that. But it's just so early, but it's fun to watch. Right? I mean, everybody loves it when they score goals.
It's fun to watch. I hope they continue to do it because I think it's always exciting and people want to discount regular seasons, Jim. But I love regular season success because it leads to good conversation, something we haven't had with the Pirates because there's never a lot of regular season success, right? Baseball's great. Yeah. We haven't even talked about that. But
plenty of Pirates to watch. Musgrove pitched last night. Have his finest hour. Carl Schwarber looked like it was 2015.
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot lately.
Yep.
Anyway, so what do you got to plan the rest of the day?
I have no idea.
That's what it is. But nice
the golf
to be
course,
free and loose.
Golf course is filling up, though, Bob.
I know. Well, you should go out and take advantage of whatever daylight is left here, because although it's interesting, normally don't we have like daylight or whatever it is already?
I'd have to look it up. You can look it up.
Yes, they did. They moved it recently.
It used to be the end of October. You're right about that. It would have been next weekend.
Yeah, but it's not next weekend. I think it's a couple weeks later, right?
Right.
So they keep it lighter just for golfers, I think.
It's in November.
You're shaking your head at me. I was right. Maddie, come on.
It used to be the end of October, the last weekend in October, which would have been...
And then 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you have no choice. You can't play. It's dark. Unless you get your go to the range and put
your... Did you ever have one of those like light-up golf balls that they came into vogue?
Yeah.
I had one. I don't think I ever used it, though.
They're fun. You never lose them. It's hard to lose them. You can find it. You know it's in the water. You can see it in the weeds.
Can you see them through the leaves?
Yes.
Really?
The leaves light up. Yes. You can tell.
I should have had that yesterday. But the leaf rule. You ever use the leaf rule?
I always use the leaf rule.
No penalty.
It's always the leaf rule.
Speed up play.
Jim Colony. Well,
have a good show.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Be listening on the way home. Bye.
And Linda, don't take seriously what he said about the gas. That's a situation that all guys have to encounter. All right. 412-928-9370 is the number. You want to talk? We got... like an hour and a half left, so make sure you call. We talk about all these things. Thanks to Jim Colony for hanging around for another segment. Wish him well on his day of golf. I know he's going to do it. His clubs aren't in his car. He will find them. He'll put them in the trunk. He'll get out because it is light until like 6-something today, so you can actually do that. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. And a big thanks to our sponsors who make the show possible. PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one Cochrane, shop 24/7 with expressway at cochrane.com. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Plus, come see what everyone's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. You want a great place to watch sports, tremendous atmosphere, great food, great drink. Iron Rock Tap House is your place to be. 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter at KDPomp. Open lines until 1 o'clock here as we talk about all things Pittsburgh-related sports or otherwise. You may have seen the deal that San Francisco made for Christian McCaffrey. Carolina's having basically a garage sale here. You can go and get whatever you want. They're accumulating draft picks in very much a rebuild situation. And one of the reasons why San Francisco were able to make this deal, it was McCaffrey from Carolina to San Fran for 4 picks. McCaffrey hasn't been that reliable lately, injured a lot. He's a talented guy, obviously. I don't know if he's in the back nine of his football career, whatever the case may be. But San Francisco had 6 extra third-round compensatory draft picks, which they got for losing some of their coaches. Robert Saleh went to the Jets. Mike McDaniel, the guy the Steelers are going to face this weekend, he went to the Dolphins. And Martin Mayhew to the Commanders. So they get compensatory picks, so they had a surplus of those picks. Now, if you're Carolina, if you're going to do this, they're doing it the way a lot of people would like to see a rebuild. in the next two drafts. Listen to what they have. All right. They have their own first round pick in 2023. They have 2 second, 2 third, 2 fourths, 2 fifths. And in the second, third, and fourth, their own picks plus the ones they just got from San Francisco. They have none in the sixth, none in the seventh. Then in 2024, they have their own first, their own second, third, fourth. They also have San Francisco's fifth, Tennessee's fifth. They have Arizona's sixth. They got a whole bunch of draft capital here, and they're probably not done. Which raises the question about the Steelers. A lot of people somehow have come to the conclusion that Chase Claypool is on the block, which he may be, for all I know. But there's a lot to be said with being on the block and actually being traded. I don't think the Steelers would like to trade Chase Claypool unless they got a kind of return that you would expect, which is more than probably teams want to give up. I mean, he's not Christian McCaffrey in terms of his resume. He's had a good rookie season where he was very much a jet sweep guy, got some touchdowns that way, made 10 touchdowns in his rookie season. Last year was a setback year. I don't think he was all that good. He recommitted himself, and we saw last week what he could do in critical situations on third down especially. He was the target of Mitch Trubisky on a 7-for-7 target day. How much is that worth? If you're a team, are you going to give a big return to the Steelers? I doubt it. Most likely it would be a fifth, a fourth, something of that nature. Would the Steelers do that, knowing that they still got to believe Claypool has a lot of upside, and with a quarterback like Kenny Pickett, you want to give him as many weapons as you can as they grow together. We'll see. I doubt it. I don't think they should. If they believe they can be competitive the rest of the way and get into a playoff, I don't think you want to make that deal. But offers will dictate what deals are made and what deals aren't made. I know Mike Gesicki, Miami tight end, is also on the block down there in Miami. He's a pretty productive guy. He's got a potential big number salary-wise. They may be willing to deal with that. We'll see. But he's a big target for them and complements what they have on the outside, which are two very talented guys, as you know, with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They're first and third, respectively, in receiving yards. Tua Tagovailoa comes back. All the emphasis will be on these two quarterbacks because both coming back from concussion, especially Tua Tagovailoa went through a real difficult situation where a guy got fired because of it, who's supposed to be in charge of it with the protocols on the field. So hypothetically, if somebody does get banged up in this game, you're going to wonder if they're going to just say, you know what, we're not taking any chances, you come out of the game, which makes, Teddy Bridgewater and Mitch Trubisky on the clock too, potentially, in this game. I asked a question the other day on our sports showdown show about whether or not we're going to see Mason Rudolph at all this year. My answer would be yes, at some point, just because of this optic when it comes to concussion. When guys get out, you're going to have to make... Now, I'm a little bit surprised that Kenny Pickett is back a week later. In fact, he was back at practice 2 days later, which is a little surprising following what was deemed as a concussion. You would think that the NFL would make sure they won't play at all 1 week later, wait to make sure what... But he's back, and he seems to be fine, and he's going to play on Sunday night. But point is, you're going to need as much quarterback depth, which to me would also put to rest a rumor of trading Mason Rudolph for now. You can make decisions at the end of the season. But for now, again, what would you get? And if it's over the top, you take it. If it's not, I don't think it's in your best interest to do it. We've seen a lot of fantastic finishes so far in the NFL, and I'm talking about a lot of fantastic finishes. When you think about it, I think it was last Sunday, they were down 20-10, fourth quarter. The Giants, at that point you're thinking, okay, the bubble's going to burst on the New York Giants. They're 4-1. They're not that good. They're going to lose a game. But lo and behold, they did not do that against Green Bay. They went out and scored. And talk about guys who are coming back. Saquon Barkley, who's had his share of injuries. He leads the NFL with 771 scrimmage yards. They came back from the dead, and they came back to win that game. They're 5-1 now, and they have erased 10-point deficits in 3 of their 5 wins this season. Barkley's been the key to all of that. Not Daniel Jones, although he's their quarterback, and I still think they'd want to move on from him eventually. But they're 5-1 right now. But it's been a trend around the NFL. Watch the fourth quarter. You can go through the first half of an NFL game, and you don't see a whole bunch of stuff. Low-scoring exchange field goals, 10-3 at halftime, whatever. But 19 games have been won or tied by a team that trailed by 10 or more points so far through 6 weeks. That's the most of all time. That's a lot of comebacks. I think one of the interesting matchups this week is another one that I'll be watching. That's San Francisco and Kansas City. And I wonder how much Christian McCaffrey will be a factor in this game. That's a late game, 4:25 kickoff. But Kansas City's 4-2, San Francisco's 3-3. And they met in the Super Bowl, oh, Matt, how many years ago am I thinking here? Three, four years ago? I can't remember the year. But they met in the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs this year lead the NFL in yards per game. They're one of the best offenses you're going to find. The 49ers are one of the best defenses, at least statistically. They allow the fewest yards of any team in the NFL. That's an interesting matchup. We'll talk more about what's going on in the AFC North because there's a really good matchup that will affect Cleveland and Baltimore as they go head-to-head. We'll get into that. I'd also like to expand the conversation to the Penguins as well. You got baseball playoffs going on. We have a big day in college football. Pitt will be action today against Louisville. That is tonight at 8 p.m. on the ACC Network. We'll have a pregame show here from 5 to 6 on 93.7 The Fan before network coverage takes over at 6 until 8. Penn State has a whiteout tonight. Disappointing effort last week for Penn State against Michigan. I expected them to be better than they were. They had a pick six, but they also gave up two runs in excess of 60 yards defensively. That's never going to get it done. So we'll see what they can do tonight at home in a whiteout situation. They dropped to 16th in the ratings. I think one of the more interesting games is Syracuse and Clemson down in Death Valley. Is Syracuse for real? I mean, they've been terrific so far, and you know Dino Babers and company has them believing. But this is a tough assignment. Clemson is always tough at home in Death Valley. I think the point spread on that game is 13. I would be inclined to take 13 points. I'm a point lover. I take points no matter what the case may be, just because games are closer than they often think, and then at the end somebody scores a meaningless touchdown, maybe meaningless for the outcome of the game, but certainly not points. So I'll take 13 points if that is the spread against Clemson today. I'll take Syracuse plus 13. We have a lot more to get into. Call right now, 412-928-9370. Want to hear from you. You can also tweet, as I said, at KD Pump on a beautiful Saturday here in Pittsburgh. You might be out running around. Some beautiful pumpkin patches out there. Idaho Park is a great halibut. All these things going on. If you're driving to and from, you want to call, please feel free to do so. Matty Harkins will take your call. He's behind the glass at 412-928-9370. We're back with more right after this. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Rolling along on a beautiful day here in Pittsburgh. Sun is shining, temperature rising, leaves are changing. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Get on the line, let us know what you think. Another trend that I've noticed, and I don't know why it's happening. If you call, maybe you can tell me why you think it's happening. NFL big plays are down this year. If you look at the averages here now, 20-yard pass plays, although the Steelers gave up 11 in one game earlier this year, which is crazy, against Buffalo. That's insane. But last year, again, this is through the first 6 weeks, 649 of those. This year, 571. That's down. 50-yard plays are down by 15, 54 to 43. That's actually 11. I can't add. Then we have total touchdowns. It's a trend that's going backwards. You know, this is an offensive league. They put everything in play to try to help offenses. 2 years ago, 530 total touchdowns. 2021, 523. So far this year, 447. So why is that? Why are we seeing that? And the next question would be, Brian Flores is here in Pittsburgh. Really like him a lot. A fruitful mind when it comes to defenses, but also a nice guy on top of everything else. But how much of an impact would he have in this game tonight? Mike Tomlin was quick to kind of say, that's just a lot of overblown stuff. Yeah, we pick his brain, but it really doesn't matter on game day, or does it? I think it does, and I think he knows that organization inside and out. He knows Tua Tagovailoa inside out, his preferences, what he likes to do. So as a defensive contributor, he can certainly be of use. That could be one of the underplayed stories. It turns out to be a big story in this game. 412-575-2600. Let's go out to line four. We got the counselor joining us on the cell phone. What's up, counselor? How are you?
Fine, thanks, Bob. My comment on Chase Claypool, unless they're going to give me a third-round pick or better, I'm not moving him. And I don't think anybody's going to do that. And quite frankly, with the way this receiving core is, 1 week somebody steps up or somebody gets injured and can't play. So there's too many, as I said before, there are too many variables that doesn't allow you to say, because Deontay Johnson has taken a step back, I think, and dropping too many balls And I don't know that you can just say, oh, yeah, we'll get another one next year. You know, we'll get a we'll find another George Pickens on the second round or the third round.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's important to recognize that you need all these guys. If you lose him, you know, Calvin Austin, a guy who was supposed to be back by now, he may not be back all year. There's some reporting out there. I don't know if it was Josh Rountree or Jeff Hathorn who indicated maybe he's just not going to be back. And I don't know why. He's been back at practice. They have 21 days. We're closing in on that. You know, you need people there too, you know, and you need, if you're going to have Kenny Pickett throw the football down the field and you want him to grow with the people around. So it would take an overwhelming offer. Do I think someone's willing to do it? Probably not. If it happened, I may consider it, but it would have to be on my terms. And if I'm Omar Khan, I'm playing that game. I'm playing that poker face. You're not going to, no, sorry. Whatever you're offering is not enough. Crank it up if you want to be serious. And we'll see where that takes him.
Yep.
All right, Counselor, thank you. And the trade deadline in the NFL, by the way, is 4 p.m. on November the 1st. So that's an important number to keep in mind. November the 1st, 4 p.m., what will teams do? Certainly Carolina has guys, they're making them available right now and trying to get as many draft equity as they can. They just did that with Christian McCaffrey. San Francisco is a team that has a very good run game. They have, no matter who's there, and he could fit in. He does more than that. He gives them options. But they're in go mode out there. They gave up a second, a third, and a fifth. Fifth is next year in 2024. 2023, a second, third, and fourth. So, you know, that's an offer probably the Carolina would not refuse, and they took it. So what will it mean to San Francisco? They're 3-3. They don't have Trey Lance. It's funny to me how, you know, they started the year with Trey Lance and, you know, thinking they could be division contenders. He gets injured. They get more serious with Jimmy Garoppolo, which makes me wonder, did they really think that Trey Lance was a better option than Jimmy Garoppolo? You know, I hate to see guys get injured, especially young guys. He's in his second year. He's now done. Garoppolo, good they kept him. If they hadn't kept him, what would they be? Where would they be? 412-928-9370. An inside look at the Steelers and Dolphins here. And, you know, Miami's due for a win, quite frankly. They started 3-0, and they beat some good teams. They beat Buffalo down there. Even though Buffalo was on the field an awful lot in that game, Miami wasn't. They also beat Baltimore in Baltimore on a game where Tua had his best game ever as a pro with, I think, 6 touchdown passes. So if he's capable of being in there and being on top of his game, it's going to be a tough situation. Minkah Fitzpatrick returns. Akello Witherspoon will not play in this game. They have injuries. They're going to rely on some guys without T.J. Watt supplying the pressure. And, you know, I've said this before. If you listen to me, you've heard me say that I'm surprised that the Steelers have had such a drop-off without T.J. Watt. And I say that with all due respect for, you know, guys up front, Cam Hayward and Tyson Alualu and others. And I think Ogunjobi has been good when he's had to be. But you wouldn't think it would be that much of a drop-off. If you look at the pressures over the last 4 years, Daniel Valente tweeted this out. I thought it was interesting. Back in 2019, they were first in the NFL. They pressured 30% of the time. In 2020, 35% of the time. Also first in the NFL. And now this year, without TJ, they are 29th in the NFL. They've gone from first to 29th in terms of pressures. How is it possible that one guy could be that good? And I know how good TJ Watt is, but I don't know if it's a defensive scheme, you know, to try to flood the secondary, not put as much. And they certainly did that against Tom Brady, and it worked. But you would think there'd still be a chance for them to get more pressure than they've gotten over the last 5 games. 412-928-9370. We got Lou in Greenfield joining us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Bob. Just a comment on Chase Claypool. This guy is a beast. They were talking earlier about how he disappeared after his first great year. And, you know, he had rocking chair Ben thrown to him the second year, and Ben could only throw a 5-yard out. But, you know, they were talking about trading him to Green Bay. You trade that guy anywhere else, he's going to be an all-pro, and it'll come back to haunt the Steelers. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Well, no, I am in agreement. I said before the year, I thought he was going to make good on what he thought of himself, which was a 1,300-yard receiver. Now, it hasn't happened all that way. There have been a lot of mitigating circumstances. But I'm still bullish on him and what he can be. He's a physical guy who should be a mismatch in the secondary, or so many other secondary guys aren't as tall as him. He has leaping ability. He has the physical ability to win those balls. They just got to take – I think it's more a function of just this scheme, which is not feeding the deep ball. It's not feeding the middle of the field. It's not feeding anything but out patterns. You know, you got to do more than that. And maybe Pat Freiermuth's presence back here will have a difference there and make a difference. So I'm not going to trade him right now. And again, the offer will dictate. I'm not going to just put my head in a hole and say, no, I'm not trading, period. I'm going to say, if you're going to want him, you're going to have to give me something that I believe makes a big difference. We'll see what that is, but I don't think anyone will meet that request by the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's just me talking. We'll see. It could change if someone gets desperate enough. But I like Chase Claypool, and I think he's going to have a big impact as this season moves on. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll get into baseball, hockey, and other stuff coming up. And by the way, there's a big Riverhounds game tomorrow night, too. Unfortunately for them, it's on a Sunday. It's in Birmingham, because if it wasn't on a Steelers game day, maybe they get more attention. They should. They're in the playoffs for the fifth straight year. We'll see if they could beat Birmingham Legion FC tomorrow night. And if so, they could possibly get a home match moving forward. All right, we're going to take a break. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors, PNC Bank. Thank you. Number One Cochran, thank you. Ireland Contracting, thank you. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, come see what everyone's talking about. Thank you very much. And Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, thank you very much, too. They make the show possible, as do you. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this from hour 12 until 1. Also, I want to tell you about our text sponsors, Edgar Snyder & Associates. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Our Twitter sponsors are South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Weather. All the meteorologists love this. They get a lot of plaudits when this happens. Little tap on the back. That away, that's what we want.